Law enforcement wants to make sure you get home safely from those holiday parties. Good evening, I'm Madeline Beck, and that's our top story tonight on Montana Evening Edition. Capitol reporter Dan Boyce profiles two Montana brothers hoping to make it to the Olympics. Flathead reporter Katrin Fry visits with a woman whose business is to deck other people's halls. And in our feature interview, news director Sally Mock talks with the founder of Missoula Shipping Depot about some of the unique items people like to send for Christmas. Missoula police will have extra patrols out through January 5th to try to keep drunk drivers off the road and make sure people fasten their seatbelts. 0.08 is Montana's legal limit for blood alcohol content, but Sergeant Greg Amundson says buzz driving is also drunk driving. And you can be charged with a DUI even if you don't meet the legal limit.
If you've had enough alcohol that you can feel the buzz or anything, odds are you've had too much alcohol to safely drive or operate a motor vehicle. You can be below what they call the per se limit, which is the 0.08 BAC. You can be below that, but if you show physical impairment, which is performing poorly on the physical, you know, the field sobriety tests, or very impaired driving, you can still get a DUI even if you're below that per se limit.
There are plenty of ways to get home safely without drinking and driving, including designating a sober driver, arranging for someone to pick you up, or calling a taxi. More tips are available at the website plantolive.mt.gov. And in other news from around the state, Montana Labor Commissioner Pam Busey says 539 Montanans will lose their federal emergency unemployment compensation benefits Saturday after Congress failed to renew the program. The Great Falls Tribune reports the unemployment program created in 2008 provided long-term jobless workers with up to 92 weeks of combined Montana and federal benefits. Busey says the impact will be felt less in Montana than in other states because Montana has a comparatively low 5.2 unemployment rate. Jeannie Trapp of the Great Falls-based nonprofit Opportunities Incorporated says it's bad timing to have the federal program end near Christmas and during winter. Unemployment Insurance Division Chief Rob Mulvaney says another 1,876 Montanans receive state unemployment insurance now and could later qualify for EUC benefits if Congress renews the program early next year. An ex-Montana Army National Guard soldier accused of fleeing the country to avoid felony sex crime charges has appeared in Lewis and Clark District Court. Jeffrey Lane Wenzel was ordered to be held on a $1 million bond today. Wenzel was a sergeant stationed in Butte. He was charged in June 2012 with a felony sex crime against a minor and two counts of sexual abuse of a child. The Independent Record reports he now faces a charge of bail jumping, too. Wenzel didn't show up for his January 22nd trial. An affidavit filed by Assistant Attorney General Mary Kochenour says Wenzel wrote his wife a letter saying he didn't believe he would get a fair trial. Kochenour says Wenzel flew to France and Germany before ending up working at a bar in Spain. The Montana judge who says a teen rape victim appeared, quote, older than her chronological age, end quote, has sentenced a man convicted of punching his girlfriend to write, quote, boys do not hit girls, end quote, 5,000 times. District Judge G. Todd Baugh also sentenced 27-year-old Pacer Anthony Ferguson to 6 months in jail for fracturing the woman's face in three places during an August 2012 argument. Baugh set off a public furor when he made a comment about a 14-year-old rape victim and sentenced her teacher rapist to only a month in prison. He ordered Ferguson yesterday to number the list, sign it, and mail it to him by May 23rd. The Billings Gazette reports Ferguson also faces 8 years in prison for violating the terms of his release. For Butte brothers Brian and Bradley Wilson, skiing started as a casual affair, spending weekends with their parents at Lost Trail and Discovery ski areas in Montana. Today, the Wilsons ski for a living. Both 25-year-old Brian and 21-year-old Bradley are members of the U.S. Freestyle Moguls team, and both are vying for a trip to the 2014 Winter Olympics in Sochi, Japan. The brothers compete in the same event, and both describe the same drive to win. But Capitol reporter Dan Boyce tells us they attribute their successes to each other as much as to themselves.
It's been a team effort since we started I don't think that we could have done it individually to trust that Brian is rooting for me or for him to trust that I'm rooting for him. It kind of gives you a sense of calm.
Bradley Wilson says their parents started them skiing when they were barely more than toddlers.
Forcing it upon us at first, for sure. You know, you don't want a three-year-old out in the cold Montana weather. Just freezing his butt off. All he wants to do is go in. Anyways.
When they were boys, 8 and 12 years old, they started following around the Lost Trail freestyle team one day.
The best skiers on the mountain just shredding, you know.
By the end of that first day, the Lost Trail coach asked their parents if they would want to join the team.
So we said, yeah, let's try it out.
Within the next couple of years, they moved over to competing in moguls at Bridger Bowl. Still, it was only a weekend program.
For us to become Olympians and U.S. ski team members, we needed to have a full-time program. We needed to ski every day.
That's what brought us over here to Utah.
The family moved to Park City when older brother Brian finished high school. Bradley continued taking classes remotely at Butte Central. Years later, they're still training in Park City with the U.S. Freestyle Moguls team. Brian says on an average day, they'll wake up, hit the slopes by 9 or 9:30, warm up.
Make some short swing turns. Get the legs, the blood flowing.
Then it's over to the moguls course to work on the day's assignment.
Whether it be jumps or landings or turns or whatever, I'll discuss that with my coach beforehand.
4 hours or so of that, then a cool down on a stationary bike, study some video from the day, and prepare for tomorrow. It's a job.
But I wouldn't describe it as like a 9 to 5, you know. It's go out there and try to become the best you can be.
Brian has already had Olympic success, bringing home a bronze medal from the 2010 Vancouver Games. He's standing at 10th in the world right now for freestyle moguls. He won his first World Cup in Austria this last season. As they grew up, younger brother Bradley says Brian was constantly pushing him, motivating him to be better.
I never really thought of it as like a downer, you know. It's always been positive having him around.
That's good.
And yeah.
Bradley is skiing at an elite level too. Last season was his most successful, including 4 World Cup podium finishes. He's currently ranked 4th in the world. 5 more qualification events remain to determine which 3 men and 3 women will make the Olympic squad.
And hopefully both Brad and I are in the top 3.
A lofty goal, but that's what their world is all about. These Olympic dreams aren't taking away from their ability to enjoy themselves, to enjoy their sport. Shortly before we talked,
we just got off the hill at Deer Valley just for a free ski day. My brother and I went up and just for a couple hours got to ski the powder and we had a blast.
I'm Dan Boyce reporting in Helena.
Environmentalists and tribal members demonstrated last night against the second of 3 giant loads of oil refinery equipment being shipped through eastern Oregon to the tar sands of western Canada. The East Oregonian reports the group of about 50 people in Pendleton held signs and sang prayers while police kept watch. No arrests were reported. The megaload convoy was parked nearby, and it had driven the previous night from the port of Umatilla on the Columbia River. Leaders of the Confederated Tribes of Umatilla Indian Reservation say the state government hasn't properly consulted with them about the shipment through the land the tribes ceded in 1855. Environmentalists suppose the tar sands oil for its outsized carbon emissions. Shopping, cooking, tying up loose ends at work, family coming in, the list of holiday prep goes on. Joyce Billmeyer of Conrad Floral in the Flathead has found a way to make a traditionally slower season busy by helping people check off one of those things of their list, holiday decorating. Flathead reporter Katrin Fry catches up with Billmeyer as she preps to put the finishing touches on a home all dolled up for the holidays.
The poinsettias have arrived.
Nice, deep, rich red.
Joyce Billmeyer owns Conrad Floral of Big Fork.
Special event, custom design work. We do event planning. But yes, the fresh flowers, we do lots of weddings, parties. And of course, we do basic retail as well. But the bulk of our business is the custom work.
Billmeyer's been in business for about 25 years, 9 in the Flathead. Her busiest season is wedding season, a summer that's creeping more into the shoulder seasons of fall and spring. She does have some winter weddings, but this would normally be the slow season.
It would be, however, if we weren't so fortunate to have such wonderful people to work with. They welcome you into their home. You get to make magic for them. It's just really fun. We do a client that her favorite color is lime green. And so it kind of looks like a seussical tree sometimes. Dr. Susie.
Bill Meyer unwraps an ivy plant grown into a hoop shape with bells woven into the top. The house Bill Meyer is setting off to finish decorating has a Montana Christmas motif.
I always try to use natural things like textures, you know, willow branches and sticks and maybe bird nests. We added some fun chickadees that were fun in there, just some things that maybe make you don't feel like you're in the city.
Bill Meyer and a small team, often just one or two others, set up and take down the decorations. Her quote will include the tree, lights, decorations, and labor. She says costs range from a couple hundred dollars to as high as tens of thousands of dollars. Now, is that a practical saw or a decorative saw?
That cuts the bottom off the trees. That's my little box of goodies. I've got a shovel. I've got an air compressor with a battery charger. I've got all sorts of tricks of the trade.
A 12-foot Christmas tree may take 6 to 8 hours to get the lights on. Bill Meyer will also bring extra fuses, bulbs, and strands of lights when one can't be fixed.
If it's a little bit flaky at all, in about 2 minutes, it's just off the tree. We throw it out and start over, because the last thing you want to do is, after you have 22 strings on there, is to have a bulb go out or a section of the lighting go out and have to deal with that. That's not productive for us or the clients. So,
as for her own Christmas tree,
I kind of do a fussy traditional tree, and this year I'm fortunate enough that my children will be coming for Christmas and grandbabies. So I'm looking forward to maybe doing something a little different, perhaps something on the Lego line. So I'm kind of trying to think about how I could do something fun and have Lego blocks and a more child-friendly tree.
With wreaths, poinsettias, extra pine boughs, tools, and floral arrangements loaded into the back of her Suburban, she heads out to get this home decorated before the family arrives. Katrin Fry reporting from the Flathead.
Wyoming has lost its claim to selling the cheapest gas in the region because of its new higher fuel tax. During the past decade, Wyoming's average gas prices have generally been at or below the average price in Colorado. But that trend has been reversed since Wyoming increased its tax by 10 cents a gallon in July. The Casper Star Tribune reports Wyoming caught up with Colorado yesterday, and gas is now selling in both states at an average of $3.02 a gallon. The average price in Montana is $3 and $3.04 in Nebraska. Prices in Wyoming and neighboring states still remain among the lowest in the nation. That's because of the gasoline produced in the Rocky Mountain region comes from the Canadian crude oil, among the cheapest in the world. This is one of the busiest months of the year for Dave Chappie, founder of the Shipping Depot in Missoula. But he's still busy today as last-minute shoppers rush to ship their Christmas presents on the eve of the holiday. In this feature interview, Chappie talks with news director Sally Mock about the unique items people try to ship and about their procrastination this year.
And I think people were just surprised by the shortness of the season, what retailers generally call the holiday season from Thanksgiving to Christmas Eve was 26 days. That's the shortest it's been since 2002. And I think that with the cold snap, you know, that we had at the start of the season has just put people late. So, yeah, we're busy today.
What are the worst mistakes people make when they're getting Christmas gifts ready to ship?
Well, after 27 years, I got a long list. I don't think we have time for that.
Give me the top five.
First off, I'll speak from a safety point of view. People are generally unaware of some of the hazardous materials that may be delivered to a store because the outbound shipper has a hazardous material license and practices the proper procedures. But things like perfume have a very low flash point and are flammable, and they can only be shipped by ground. And at the Shipping Depot, we avoid flammable hazardous materials completely. So we disappoint customers when they want to ship perfume, for example. Things that are in spray cans, whether it's spray paint or silly string. Nope, can't do that. The recycling boxes is a shame. We're happy to accept a package in a strong, near new reused box, but if it has a hazardous material label on it, if it has a label called ORMD, which is for consumer hazardous materials, if it's got a booze label on it, beer, wine, no, or beer, wine box, nope, can't ship that. It just throws off the system.
And some of those boxes aren't in the best of shape either. I think you said once that some of them look like the cat slept in them.
Oh, it's or worse, what the cat did in them. And if it's of low value and soft and can take the collapse of that box, why then, well, maybe that's not a big issue. But if it's worth something and it's fragile, writing fragile on the label or do not bend on the label, everything's automated now, Sally. It's boosted reliability incredibly, the barcodes and everything. But at the same time, there's no human being that's going to stop in a conveyor line at the Denver hub that's moving 8 miles an hour with 1,000 packages on it for a fragile label and say, oh, everybody stop. I got to take this one by hand. It just doesn't happen.
Better to make sure it's packed well. I've learned this lesson the hard way, I'm afraid.
I hope it wasn't at the shipping depot.
I'm not going to say where it was, but it was my fault. I didn't pack it well enough.
The carriers have learned in recent years that weight isn't the only factor in their cost in building their loads. So we find some customers are surprised when we have to charge them for the volume of their package. An example would be, we shipped a beanbag chair for a lady this year. Wonderful, cute gift. But there's no way we can make that small. And it weighs about 10 pounds, but the customer had to pay as if it weighed 60 pounds because of the volume of that box. The carriers know they could put 60 pounds of stuff in that space, and they're going to charge accordingly.
And people should be aware of that, shouldn't they, when they're purchasing gifts that are going to be shipped, that it may cost more to ship it than the gift cost in the first place. I mean, that's just a given, depending on what it is.
I have a simple solution for that. Spend more on your gifts.
I want to be on your Christmas list, Dave.
I would like to remind people that gift cards are like cash. They're negotiable. And while they make a simple gift and an easy gift to send, if they're lost or damaged, there's nothing we can do about it. It's cash. It's, you know, what happens to cash if your house burns down? Poof, it's gone. So the carriers consider them the same thing. We can't insure your package for that $100 gift card inside there.
Another thing people should be aware of is that things that are being shipped long distances will go through several temperature changes as well.
Do you want me to tell the story about the Santa Globes?
Yes, please.
Well, many years ago when we had our store in Southgate Mall, one of the jewelry stores in there were selling these wonderful, beautiful snow globes, the round balls without a crystal with liquid inside and the snowflakes and a very traditional, you know, European craft Santa. It was a beautiful gift, and we shipped a lot of those, and they were in nice original equipment with the foam, the styrofoam liner that fit perfectly to the snow globe, and we shipped those Santa balls all over the place. And then after Christmas, we started to get some damage claims on them, and we couldn't figure it out because it was great packaging, and when we got them back even, the package wasn't damaged. It was just wet. And then we realized that those Santa balls were going to the East Coast, and in many cases, they had to ride in a railroad train or a truck right through North Dakota and Minnesota. And so somewhere, what happens to something when it freezes? It expands before it freezes, and that's what broke those globes. Somewhere between Missoula and Chicago, Santa's balls froze.
I have no comment about that, Dave. What are the strangest things in your experience that people have tried to ship?
Well, I'm glad that we've got Montana's medical marijuana law restricted now, because for a year it was just horrible because people thought they were sending their medication. And, well, anybody with a nose could smell what kind of medication it was. And whatever the laws are now in Washington, state of Washington, and the state of Colorado, it's still illegal, according to federal regulations, to ship that stuff. So that's an inconvenience and a problem for people. And I'll go back to the hazardous materials. Last year we had a wonderful grandma in here shipping a box of gifts. And when customers tell us, gifts, we want to find out if, again, if there's something valuable or fragile we need to protect, and or if there's something hazardous they might not be aware of. And I asked her, well, ma'am, is there anything in particular that you're worried about in that box? And she says, well, the rocket kit is fantastic. It will go a half mile into the atmosphere. My grandson's going to love that. Well, how's that rocket going to get a half mile up? Well, it's with solid rocket fuel. Incredibly hazardous.
You had to tell her no, I'm sure.
We had to help her remove that and ask her to wait until her grandson came to visit. Cheap art. You asked about spending more on your gifts. There's some wonderful pieces of art that are framed and may or may not have glass. My favorite was the Black Velvet Elvis from a few years ago that was Elvis at his prime in that jumpsuit at the Hilton. And the guy found it at a yard sale for $25. But no matter what it is, if it's framed and it's that large and it's a nice piece of art, well, we got to box it accordingly so it'll withstand traveling with, you know, the carriers take packages up to 150 pounds now. You know, it could have a mini fridge fall on it. So what we talked about, what's called dimensional weight, the volume of the box as opposed to the weight. You know, by the time we packed that, we were looking at something that was a lot more expensive to ship than the price of the gift.
Of course, a Black Velvet Elvis is priceless.
If you're an Elvis fan.
Exactly.
I won't denigrate Black Velvet art. Several years ago, we participated in the sale of some Black Velvet topless Tahitian beauties. And those pieces turned out to be worth thousands of dollars. And the art and the collector was happy to have those sent back to Tahiti. That's where they ended up. That's where the artist originated the pieces. A collector had them here in Western Montana, and they were shipped back to Tahiti. So I won't pick on Black Velvet art.
Dave, what has been, if you can recall it, maybe one of the most satisfying things you've shipped, where you just were proud to make sure that that particular shipment was going to get from point A to point B?
We do a lot of art, and that's not necessarily a challenge, because we've done enough of it, but it's satisfying to crate and then nurse through the transaction and the delivery a high-value piece of art. And we do heirloom furniture, which may be too large, which usually is too large to ship by one of the regular carriers. And we need to know what a piece is worth, whether it's a small gift in a box or a large piece of furniture. And there's some things that literally are priceless, and those are and there's some things that are a challenge for us as packers, because things have to be packed to withstand normal handling, and that normal handling is incredibly rough. We talked about the temperature conditions, and we do stringed instruments. Well, a stringed instrument from Missoula this time of year to Florida, it's going to have some trauma just with the temperature changes.
Dave, you provide an amazing service this time of year, especially for those last-minute shoppers. And I have been speaking with Dave Chappie, the founder of the Shipping Depot in Missoula, and I understand the head packer there. And Dave, I want to wish you and your family a very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. And thank you so much for taking time out of your very busy schedule to give us some great tips.
Well, thank you so much for calling us, and don't forget the rest of the crew, because we've got a great team here that really take care of people.
And now for tonight's forecast. West of the Divide tonight expects mostly cloudy skies with patchy freezing fog and lows 7 to 14 degrees. Tomorrow should be partly cloudy with areas of freezing fog and highs in the upper 20s to mid-30s. For central Montana tonight, expect partly cloudy skies and lows 10 to 20 degrees with wind gusts, which could reach up to 55 miles per hour along the Rocky Mountain front. Tomorrow for Christmas, they should have partly cloudy skies with highs 30 to 40 degrees and wind gusts up to 40 miles per hour in the afternoon. For southwest Montana, tonight it should be partly cloudy with lows 5 to 15 degrees. And tomorrow, expect partly cloudy skies with highs 25 to 35 degrees. And now for the editorial comments of Pat Williams. Thank you.
want to recite a story on this Christmas Eve that you may have heard before, but it's worth repeating, at least in part. Over 100 years ago, an 8-year-old Virginia O'Hanlon wrote a letter to the editor of the New York Sun. She had asked her father to tell her the truth. Is there a Santa Claus? And he told her, well, honey, they say that if you read it in the newspaper called The Sun, it has to be true. So little 8-year-old Virginia wrote this to The Sun. Dear editor, I am 8 years old. Some of my little friends say there is no Santa Claus. Father says if we see it in your newspaper, The Sun, then it has to be true, so please tell me the truth. Is there a Santa Claus? A newsman at The Sun named Francis Church decided to answer that little girl with a piece in that newspaper, and here in part is that answer. Dear Virginia, your little friends are wrong. Perhaps they've been affected by the skepticism of a skeptical age. They do not believe except what they see. They think that nothing can be which is not comprehensible to their little minds. Well, all minds, Virginia, whether they be adults or children, are little. Yes, Virginia, there is a Santa Claus. He exists as certainly as love and generosity and devotion exist, and you know that they abound and give our lives and your life its highest beauty and joy. How dreary would the world be without a Santa Claus? Why, it would be as dreary as if there were no Virginias. Not believe in Santa Claus? Why, you might as well not believe in fairies. You might get your father to hire men to watch in all the chimneys on Christmas Eve to catch Santa Claus. But even if they did not see Santa Claus coming down, what would that prove? Only faith, fancy, poetry, love, romance can view and find the supernatural beauty and glory beyond. It is all real. Ah, Virginia, in all this world, there is nothing else real and abiding. No Santa Claus? Thank God he lives, and he lives forever. 1,000 years from now, Virginia, maybe 10 times 10,000 years from now, Santa Claus will continue to make glad the hearts of childhood. This is Pat Williams, wishing you, each of you, a very Merry Christmas.
Pat Williams is one of several commentators on Montana Evening Edition. The views expressed don't necessarily represent those of this station. If you have a comment, you can send it via our webpage at mtpr.org or on Montana Public Radio's Facebook page. Montana Evening Edition is also archived on our website. I'm Madeline Beck. Thanks for listening, and have a very Merry Christmas.